I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for three stories you should know. It's also time for the football season to begin. Didn't I say that last week? What's the holdup? Anyway, at some middle schools across the U.S., there will be no football any longer, and that's where we're going to begin this week. I'm joined by Sports on Earth's Will Leach via Skype and Julie DeCaro, an update anchor and host at Chicago's 670 The Score. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello.
Thanks, Bill.
Julie, go long. Look over your left shoulder. The pass is coming to you.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stories recently, sort of a rash of reports about high schools and youth football programs shutting down across the country. Statistically, I guess it's down about 4.5% nationwide. And obviously, there's a lot of reasons for it. Some districts have changing demographics. Or if you live out in the suburbs like I do, there are always new teams starting and poaching players from old teams. So old programs go away and new programs start up. But I think one of the issues, particularly on the heels of this huge New York Times piece they did on CTE and football, where they actually showed slices of NFL players' brains and showing, you know, talked about what had happened to them throughout the course of their lives as a result of playing football, you have to ask the question, are parents finally sorting to pull their kids out of the sport because of the threat of injury? So, you know, there's sort of a question, I guess, if this is a nationwide movement taking place right now in high school and youth football, and if schools can withstand the liability that they're undoubtedly going to see down the road if kids develop CTE.
Will, you may be the perfect man to respond to this because you live in football country. What say you?
In areas where football is incredibly popular, like here in Athens, Georgia, it is an inescapable thing. Basically, you find a lot of this has to do with wealth and with income. Generally speaking, here in Athens, in certain communities that are a little wealthier, participation is down. But in parts of Athens that are not as wealthy, it is the same as it has always been here. And I think that it's telling. There's literally a park here in Athens where on the left side of the street, people are playing soccer, and on the right side of the street, people are playing football. And I think you can tell a pretty clear economic divide between them.
40-odd years ago, I taught for a couple of years at a private school in New Jersey, and intramural football was a huge tradition. They called it house football, house against house. I've been told that recently that tradition is threatened seriously by the arrival of lots and lots of students who have no interest in playing football, not because they're afraid they'll get hit in the head or because their parents are worried about their futures, but because these kids come from countries that are so sensible that football isn't happening in them. And so it's not all about head injuries and liability. It's partly that the population is changing to some extent, and some of these people are coming from places where football's not part of the package, I guess.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. And I think Will did as well. You know, the community that was featured in the Chicago Tribune article where their longtime football program shut down is a very wealthy, very upper middle class, very white suburb. And in the areas around Chicago that are much more blue collar, you still see football happening all the time. So I think that Will is right that there is a class divide here. And eventually I wonder if football won't be something more analogous to boxing, where you see sort of people from lower socioeconomic groups really being the main participants.
Will, I understand you want to move us along to professional football.
Yeah, it's all along the same line, though, really. It's just a step from A to B to C. You know, the NFL, as successful as it is, has a ton of issues it needs to deal with, from CTE to issues with the players' union. The league is almost kind of over-leveraged in the broadcast sector. Clearly, we're seeing changes in the way the networks work, and a lot of that money that's going to the NFL may not be there in 4 years. There's a ton of problems that are going to require a creative, inventive, imaginative mind to move the NFL to the next step. The NFL has decided that person is Roger Goodell. That is the inventive mind.
I know that name.
Yes. They decided, there's an announcement this week that his contract has been or will be extended to the year 2024, which, Bill, is literally when the next eclipse is. Like, that's what the next eclipse is. And, of course, the reason for this is, for all of these issues that the NFL has to deal with, really the 32 NFL owners only care about one. Are we making more money than we were last year? And so far, the answer to that under Goodell's reign has been yes. I think we may look at this moment as one of the NFL's major mistakes, because this is the guy who, on whose watch these problems have developed and exacerbated in the first place. The idea that he will be able to solve them in the next 7 or 8 years, I think, is asking for trouble.
I feel like the NFL is sort of like the Roman Empire right before things started to go south, right? I mean, you can only get so big, and then eventually people start attacking you from all sides and the whole thing goes, you know, falls apart. I felt like last season, for the first time, we started seeing some really bad football, particularly on Thursday nights, and people started tuning out. I also wrote a piece recently saying that the only reason the sport is actually growing in fans is because of women and people overseas. So that's a real problem.
Clarify for me, growing because of women.
You know, men have started, I think, tuning out football to some extent, while there's a lot of women who are still discovering the sport who have started watching. Women are a huge factor, and not only in watching sports, but also in buying the merchandise. I think women buy something like 80% of sports merchandise, most of which we buy for our kids. So they have a vested interest in keeping women happy.
This reminds me a lot of when, like, a coach has, like, a couple good seasons and the owner gets really excited and gives them a contract extension for, like, 7 years down the line. And 3 years in, they're like, oh, we're going to have to buy him out, aren't we? This feels like a potential Goodell buyout situation in 3 or 4 years. I think the problems that he has kind of not helped are just going to get worse. And eventually, they're going to chip away at that bottom line. And then the owners will notice.
Boy, given the numbers football generates, I hate to even think about what a buyout would cost if Goodell doesn't last the length of his contract. It would be phenomenal. Let us finish with some baseball. The Little League World Series will conclude on Sunday. This week, I visited a friend who's been watching that Little League World Series on TV. He used to coach high school baseball. He was very excited, told me some of the Little League teams that he'd seen could have beaten some of his high school teams, and he's enjoying the whole thing very much. I, however, continue to think televising the Little League tournament is a bad idea. It's too much hoopla too early, not in terms of pressure, but in terms of telling these kids, hey, something really important is happening, and even though you're 12 years old. I haven't been watching, so maybe my friend has got it right and I'm wrong. Does anybody want to stand up for 12-year-old pitchers and hitters in high def, Julie?
You know, I used to find the Little League World Series really wholesome and quite a relief from professional sports. But the more I've been involved in youth sports out in the suburbs, the more I've sort of grown to hate it and the parents and everything about it. So when I see these teams now, I feel like I'm just seeing like the overly involved parents, the kids who have all the resources, the ones who can travel to Orlando and Boston and California for tournaments. So when I see it from that angle, I'm really, it's not something that I'm into at this point.
Will, you a Little League World Series on TV fan or not?
One of the many things I think about when I lie in bed at night pondering the planet is how pleased I am that when I was 12, there was no internet. So therefore, all the things that I did with when I was 12 that were incredibly stupid, even stupider than the things that I do now, were not documented. Of course, anytime anything is on television at all, it's not like you're just watching it and then the moment passes. If you do something silly or you fall down or you have like a funny joke, you become a meme. Mm. I can't think of anything worse for like a 12-year-old kid there was to become like a meme or a GIF and have that last around forever. There was a kid. It was very kind of amusing. They asked him like if he had any like crushes as a kid. He said, oh, yeah, Miss Thompson from Homeroom. What's up? And that sounds like really funny, right? Like, ha, 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 clever. That's now the rest of his life.
I think you make a good point, but the flip side also works, and that is the 12-year-old athlete who is so much better than all the other 12-year-olds. You know, he strikes out the side every inning, or he hits 4 home runs in every game, and he might have peaked. As a 16-year-old, he might just be like all the other 16-year-olds, and as a 24-year-old, he might recognize that maybe he should have gotten a degree in accounting instead of tried to play baseball for a living. It's kind of, you know, that builds up that expectation of something glorious and eternal, and it isn't glorious and eternal for most of these kids, even if they're really good Little League players, I think.
That's a really depressing thought. The idea, you know, we've always had people always trying to relive their high school glorious athletic days. Now we have people in high school trying to relive their 12-year-old
glorious exactly right, high school because days. They're on TV.
That's kind of sad.
My guest for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know, which, I'm sorry, does seem to be ending on a bummer, have been Will Leach of Sports on Earth and Julie DeCaro, an update anchor and host for Chicago's 670 The Score. Thank you, both of you.
Thanks, Bill.
As always, an honor.